Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
Yeah, we certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare. I don't think my mic is on. Philip, I need a mic, sir.
Nope, I got you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So we want to thank all of our sponsors. The battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, the New Ed Seafood Shed at the top of the hill in Spanish Fort, which is the official sponsor of my tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we may have to take that new off of Ed Seafood Shed because they've been up there a year now, believe it or not.
Yep. What a blessing it is.
We do want to thank all our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on X. It's at Cal_SBN. You can always give us a shout on the phone lines, 343-0106. And, of course, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Now, coming up later on SBN, we will speak with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He's going to get us up to speed on what they have to offer our veterans and their families. Also, Tom's tirade on Days of Infamy. You don't want to miss it. But first, it is a pleasure to be joined on SBN by great patriot and friend from the gastrointestinal empire that started with a sandwich and is guilty of cooking more books than Michael Cohen, the ace of the apron, the captain of the cookbook, the soul of the filet, the lord of the fries, the man who didn't start the fire but knows how to use it, sweetness himself, Mr. Nick DeMaria. Nick, welcome back to SBN, and thank you and your crew for your service to our veterans, military, and first responders.
I'm actually running right now laughing. But, you know, Pete's the author and philanthropist. I'm more of the Norman Schwarzkopf of the guys.
There you go.
I appreciate the intro and all that y'all do for the veterans, and we're very appreciative to be on the show. You know, this summer we got a ton of stuff going on.
Man, I tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing your new food court come on board.
Well, food hall, Tom.
Food hall, okay.
in the 80s, when you had your, when you were listening to Jerry Lee,
yeah,
it was the food court. Now the sexy name is Food Hall.
Oh, Food Hall now. Oh, right. Maybe I don't know if I'll ever get updated or not. I think my...
Well, yeah, I mean, you're there. You just, few syllables.
Oh, yeah.
We're probably 4 or 5 weeks out. Parc de Treloar, named after Louis Treloar, a merchant down in the Mobile area back in the early 1800s, and he would give people and sell people goods, and then he would fashion wagons up that they could sleep in, a la Alabama's first trailer park.
Oh my Lord!
And we're super excited. Mm. We have four brands in there: Mobtown Slice, Taco Hermanos, and Panini Pizza and Astronaut Chicken. They're all our brands, and you can also book the place at night for events. So we're super excited to be doing something new, but we got all kinds of new stuff going on in other restaurants.
But it is. It's really neat. I see you had a kids' night tonight over at Ed's.
Yeah, kids' night's every Wednesday night. We've got the balloon guy. We got cartoons. We got the mini corn dogs. We got the free milkshake. We got Pokemon card giveaways. And we're just trying to expand that brand.
Right.
To the next generation of folks, you know, come check out the racing turtles in the tank. You know, just having some fun, and you know, even Monday night we're doing trivia, and that, you know, that Ed's brand, Gulf Coast Seafood with Soul, really fits that hometown feel. So that's why we're doing those different things. The waterfront, we've got live music. We just rolled out a new menu. One of the cool items, Tom, over there, I was telling you the other day. It's a black and ribeye sandwich with goat cheese and caramelized onions topped with chimichurri, spinach artichoke dip with crawfish. I mean, just, we pulled out the stops.
How late do y'all stay open? I want to see if I can make it.
I'm open till nine o'clock all week long. And
right.
You know, we covered the outside over there at the waterfront. And, you know, Ed's has got that private room that's there for booking. And Squid Ink, they just continue to keep doing what they're doing. And Sunset Point is beast mode. And so is Panini Pete's, man. I mean, we're just very blessed to have a great group of people that are willing to help and trade time with us to be the best that we can be.
Well, you've got such an awesome training scenario going on there. And you've got an awesome lady that's in charge of your training now. And I think, that, you know, between you and her, y'all do a great job.
Yeah, she's homegrown, man. She's her family's from Bessemer. My family have known them a long time. We've watched her grow up. She's got her master's, and she's learning the restaurant business. You know, she went and got that paper like Cal.
Yep.
Those masters. And then Jen Norrie, our controller, she has her master's. Just bright, young superstars. We got tons of them.
Well, and that's what it takes for you to be as big as you are and have the different types. You're talking about five different restaurants, and all five of them have different menus and the different types of food that you're putting out. But the service is great.
Tom, it's like the military when you were in the Marines. You started off with a base foundation. You started off and you built through training and repetition.
Right.
And that's kind of what we try to do. We're not perfect, but
right.
I tell you this. We're trying to be perfect. And I think really that's the key is you don't have to be perfect, but if you keep trying to be perfect and the people who work for you are cheerleading for you and you're cheerleading for them, you're probably going
to
win.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, more of them are going to move to the front than they are to move out.
Hey, Tom, can I give a quick plug about...
Sure.
I Believe in Miracles, June 29th. They've put the park together for disabled kids, 100%. Tickets are on sale now. I Believe in Miracles. There's going to be an all-star chef group, my group, Lane Zerlot, some of the local educators, Veronica Mansour, and then Exit Realty is behind it. I'll help doing the event. It'll be at the Robertsdale Civic Center. Going to be a big time.
Well, that's awesome.
Velcro Pygmies, 80s theme, so Cal should love that.
Yes, and what date is that?
June 29th.
June the 29th, okay. All right, well, man, it's a pleasure to have you on board this afternoon and all. I know that you were running and gutting trying to make everything happen, and I'm appreciative that you stopped and took the time to let us know what else is going on and about your the food hall, too.
Everybody come see us, and we'll try to do our very best to overachieve on the delivery of the food and service.
That's
y'all
great.
Have a great night. Thank you much.
Thank you, sir. All right. And as always, it's a pleasure to be joined on SBN by a great patriot and supporter of our veterans, Mr. Bill Clark, and he'll be on here shortly. So when we come back with Mr. Bill Clark.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And, of course, if you like to listen on demand, you can catch our regularly aired shows on the fabulous FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone or media devices. And Tom's tirade's always up on castbox.fm if you want to get your blood pressure going. And, hey, before we jump in to the conversation with Bill, you know, Tom, you know, talking with Nick there and, you know, the different brands that they're opening, you know, what I do when we're not on the air, you know, I do a lot of presentations in restaurants.
Right.
Throughout Alabama, Louisiana, down into Florida. And I can't tell you how many restaurants are closing their doors and literally just closing them overnight.
Mm. And we see a lot of chains closing hundreds of stores or restaurants.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately for our, you know, the folks that like bad seafood via Red Lobster.
Oh, yeah. They should have closed a long time ago.
Well, I guess if, you know, maybe if you're in Wisconsin, you know, you could say it, but any self-described Southerner that likes seafood, you know, needs to have their Southerner card revoked if they get a Red Lobster. But
yes. Yes.
But anyway, yeah, I just ran into a chain restaurant in over in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just shut their doors with really very little advance notice earlier this week.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you, it's been happening for 2 years, Tom. I mean, and this is coming out of COVID.
Right.
You know,
right.
When everything was opening back up and people were going back out to eat.
Yeah. Well, I see a couple of things there, you know, because I had owned my own company for over 30 years. And when you can't day-to-day determine what your cost of your merchandise is, and in their regard of the food that you're going to buy, they buy it today, and they buy it again at Friday, and it's, 10 to 12% higher, then you can't just change your darn menus every day, you know, and raise the prices every day. I mean, it's not like you can put today we got a 10% additional charge on it due to the cost of supplies. The truckers do that when they have to pay extra for fuel, but you can't do that in a restaurant. But, they don't have any flexibility anymore. And in some places, they can't make money. Things are changing so fast for them.
That's very true. And, you know, in some instances, they're locked into contracts.
Right.
I know one of the problems is the lease agreements that they had, you know, when they're going to renew them now, with the cost of everything, the owners are asking for ridiculous amounts for them to be able to renew their rental agreements.
All right. Well, you know, I had a buddy of mine has got this humongous facility, And he's been in it now for about, I guess, 2 years. And he was moaning and groaning today at lunch. And I said, man, what the hell's going on? He says, I got to find another place to move. I said, what do you mean? I said, you just moved in there a couple years ago. You got a contract. Yeah, but we only had a 2-year lease. And he says, they already come to me and told me that they're doubling my lease. They're doubling my lease. You know, come on, 10%, 12%, 15%, doubling my lease. Come on. So, yeah, naturally, he's got to go somewhere else.
Yep. Well, hey, you know, maybe if he has a humongous facility, as you said, they can get a humongous contract from the federal government to put all the illegals in there.
Oh, yeah. They might want to store some of them over there.
There you go. But anyway, so much for the tangent there. But it was good to hear from Nick and everything that was going on there. But it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by a great patron supporter of our veterans, Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, thanks for joining us, and thank you for all that you do for our veterans.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's always good seeing you guys. I tell you, I have a good time seeing you.
Well, we hope that you do. And, we tried to make it genuine with our presentation to our veterans and our listeners out there. And, you know, if they're not happy with what we're saying and how we're doing it, you know, they're not going to listen. So we just try to do that way with our sponsors, too, and you guys are doing a great job working with us.
Well, you know, and I also want to give a late shout-out. You know, Memorial Day is already come and gone, but I want to remind everyone that America is the land of the free because of the brave.
Right, right.
We should never forget that.
There were so many, 1,300,000 of them gave everything.
Yep.
So that we could have everything that we have.
Exactly.
You know, and I was noticing on the TV here today, they've got our big V-Day celebration going on now with Norman in that area. And they were at some of the cemeteries where our boys are buried over there. And I thought it was at Arlington. There were so many of them. I mean, there's thousands and thousands.
Yeah, and you know, America's never taken land other than just enough to bury our dead.
That's all. Right.
In foreign countries.
It's, you know, countries used to, when you went in and had to fight somebody, you took over their country and again put your flag up, you know. You have a flag, yep. You got the American flag, this is our country. Yeah. Well, we don't work that way.
No.
We go out and then we go back and say, how much money do you need to rebuild your country that we just tore up?
Exactly. So before I get, I want to give a shout out. My son Chris and his wife Megan are down at the beach. He's a police officer in
Central
Mississippi.
Wait a minute, a police officer?
Yes.
He didn't follow you in the business?
Listen, you're more likely to see Hillary Clinton become National Republican chairwoman before you see him follow me in this business. He's seen the old man work holidays and weekends all his life.
Oh, Lord, yeah. 25-7, huh?
Yeah, but he's my hero, I tell you. He's a good
kid.
Well,
that's good, hey. You know, if he's a first responder and he's a policeman out there, then he's got a worse job in what some of us had in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, you know, people are shooting at him. And at least where I was at and what I did, they wasn't shooting at me there, thank God. So,
yeah.
But, you know, and then now we got, you know, in service and military, you got to call in and get authority to shoot somebody.
That's so wrong.
You know?
That is so wrong.
And then, but, you know, policemen don't have that choice. But then it better be 120% correct, or are they going to sue him and lock him up and take his damn job?
Well, most of them do take out a private insurance.
Well, I would think they have
to. Yeah, they have to, because a lot of the municipalities just turn their back on them if it's politically expedient.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, though, and we always like to talk about our veterans and the fact that we're all going to die one day, but what's the proper criteria for a family to arrange to have a military funeral?
Everything hinges on their discharge papers. Okay. That DD-214 is critical. The military will not move forward on any request unless they have that presented to them.
So there's some place where you have to take a picture of that DD-214 or
we have to email that to them or fax it to them, and then they'll send back after they examine it and okay it, and they'll call back to confirm.
Hmm. Well, now we see a lot of military funerals on TV and things, but I don't. when they're big, have the big names or they're high ranking officers, they seem to get more attention than our enlisted men do, and that they get pallbearers and then they get a 21 gun salute and all. And now, I know in our Marine Corps stuff, if you get somebody to play taps and fold the flag and present the flag, and that's just about it. I have seen them send three people to fire the rifles, and they wouldn't fire 21 guns.
Right. Well, really the only ones that are entitled, that doesn't mean that you're getting it.
Good.
It means
clarify
you're entitled.
That, yeah.
That 20 or more year retiree is entitled to full military honors with pallbearers,
okay,
firing of the volleys, et cetera. But most veterans that did not serve 20 or more years,
right, like myself,
are only going to get two representatives of that branch of service to fold, present the flag, and play taps.
Okay. So that's how a lot of our local veteran service organizations get involved.
They do. We engage those groups such as the Marine Corps League,
right,
the American Legion, to enhance,
yes,
that military honor ceremony to fire the volleys and,
right,
play taps sometime. And
okay,
a chaplain will usually accompany that to say just a beautiful recitation to honor that veteran.
Yeah, well, I know that the Post 250 performs a lot of those services, and we as the P.L. Wilson Detachment Marine Corps League, we do as well. So I just wanted to make sure that how that happened, because everybody thinks they should get a full military funeral, and there's millions of us that didn't serve 20 years.
Right.
You know, we served 2 years, 3 years, four, or six, and so that determines a lot of, mostly on how many years you served, and
yes,
whether you retired or not.
And if anyone is cannot get their hands on that DD-214, I encourage them to look for it now.
Right.
If you need any assistance, give us a call. We would be more than happy,
okay,
to reach out to the contacts that we have to be able to get a good, clean copy,
okay,
of that discharge.
And as always, you can go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, we'll get more with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyers, Colin Kimmerly, and all the fine folks, you know, the attorneys at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. The New Edge Seafood Shed has just completed their first year up on top of the hill in Spanish Fort, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And we're blessed to have Mr. Bill Clark here with us today from Serenity Funeral Home. Go ahead, Cal. And, well, I guess I stepped on your toes then. Cal should have said, we were chatting with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, but Tom stepped on my dang head, and he took over all my words. Idiot. I have to talk to myself every now and then, you know.
Well, that's when you ask for good advice.
I know, you know, but I know that I understand what I'm saying when I say it to myself. I have trouble expressing myself to other people. Oh, all that being said. But, you know, a lot of people think that the military, whether they be short, 3 or 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, or some other year age in there, and or a retired veteran, that the military is going to pay for everything.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, they have increased the burial allowance and the plot allowance just recently to $948 for the plot allowance, $948 for the burial allowance.
Really?
But you have to have a medical... you're drawing some type of medical pension from VA, not your average veteran that served and got out, thank God.
Okay, so you have, in other words, you have to have filed for a disability.
Correct.
Through the VA.
Yes, yes.
And I wonder if they have...
Or a retirement pension.
Okay, yeah. I wonder if it has to do with the percentage of pension that you're receiving,
they
10,
they,
20,
they weigh
30?
That. Yes, they weigh that. They yep. weigh that. But that's kind of more or less the maximum that they'll pay out. Just been recently increased back in October, I believe it was.
Really? Yes. Okay. Well, so some of these veterans that have gotten out, it's like, I know that you, just one of my good friends was just buried out there with you guys, Thomas Cloud.
Yes,
and he had some disabilities from medical disabilities from the service, and so I think his wife is trying to find out now what percentage of disability he had, and also that we can try to help her determine what percentage of money that they could get for his burial service and
yes.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now that being said, you and I've already had this discussion, but. Maybe you could enlighten us a little bit. They had requested a military funeral and asked for the Marines to be there, and the Marines didn't show up. How'd that happen?
When we finally got hold of them, they said, well, we stopped using that email. They only want to deal with you through email. And so we said, look, what happened? And they said, oh, we stopped using that email 6 months ago. I said, you know, it'd be a damn good idea
right.
to let somebody know.
Yes.
So they didn't. And you would think if you stopped using the email, it would bounce back to you undeliverable.
Right.
No, they just left it open, but nobody checks it. They said, oh, we don't check that anymore. Well, why not?
Yes.
So anyway, we got that.
I know the families. That being said, now how did you do that? You had to call them and raise hell with them, or what? How did you finally get in touch with them?
Well, I called different people and finally got a good contact number because that had also changed.
Okay. Oh
so
my goodness.
There was a breakdown in communication all the way around.
That sounded like a real cluster, as we called it.
Yes. But we did reach out to the American Legion, who graciously came.
Right. Okay.
As they often do.
Yes, they do.
And did a wonderful job.
Yeah, we've got three of our people participate in those. Honor guards when they were not working with us.
You know, if it were left up to me and it was my family and I had a choice of that branch of service sending two people or having
right.
Groups such as Marine Corps League or American Legion, I'd pick them because that is heartfelt. They are there because they want to be there.
Right.
Well, the military is there because they have to be there.
Have to be, right.
Yeah, right.
They're given an order.
Yeah, yeah. And so it is heartfelt. And it's muchly appreciated.
Yep, I know that it's. I have presented the flags on numerous funerals here in over the last few years, and it's hard on us too.
Yeah,
especially when you see some of the families and some of the things that are occurring. I had to present a flag to a Marine of ours and presented it to his wife, and she's got dementia.
Yeah,
and she's asking her granddaughter, well, what is this flag for?
Yeah,
she didn't hear nothing I said about why I was presenting or anything, you know.
Well, I guarantee you, anyone that's ever been presented a properly folded flag has
yes.
never disrespected that flag.
Oh no, but she didn't really understand what was happening.
Yeah,
and you asked her granddaughter, and the granddaughter says, well, that's for Daddy.
Yeah,
she says, oh, my Daddy.
Yeah,
she said no.
Well, even though she didn't understand, the family did, it was the right.
Man, I had to, I could only stand so much of that. When I completed my little word here that we say, and then I passed that flag to them, and then I was kneeling on one knee, and I stood up and saluted her. I had to go get behind a bunch of people, baby.
I know.
Get my head clear.
When my daddy died 14 years ago, I said, I'm going to be the one folding. My mother did not want military services. She She's buried, one husband and a son killed in Vietnam. She said, I don't want to go through that again.
Uh-oh, okay, so she'd already been there.
So I'm going to be the brave one and fold and present. And I was doing really well until I looked over at my best friend growing up from when we were toddlers.
Right.
And I saw him breaking down, and I lost.
Oh, yeah, then you lost it, too.
Oh, man, it was, yeah. So, it was, it's something that I needed to do.
Well, that being said, you guys have a lot of services that's specifically for veterans. Maybe you could enlighten us a little bit how that works at Serenity. What a veteran's family means. Do they have to buy a plot? Is there any veterans discounts, et cetera, et cetera?
No veteran is going to purchase a grave space at Serenity.
Oh, my Lord.
We donate all of our veterans with a grave space.
Mercy.
So we just feel like that is our way of giving back to the greatest Americans ever.
Now, that being said, is there would it be a place for the wife or the other mate?
One of our sections,
how does that work?
Yes, one of our sections, the Wall of Honor, which you're familiar with,
is a
double-depth section. And in that section, the spouse does not buy her or his
So it's just
space.
like the veteran cemetery,
it
then.
Is. It is.
Where whichever one dies first goes the deepest, and then the next spouse, whether it be he or she, would be buried in the same plot
top. But many of our veterans, though, choose in some of our other gardens where they can have more family members around them, whereas in the it's just going to be at one space, double depth. And so the children or other family members, grandchildren, whomever the kinship may be, they're not able to be buried in the Wall of Honor, but in other sections they are.
Okay.
But again, even in those other sections, our veterans do not pay for a grave space.
That is awesome. That is just awesome. I know that I've never seen, as I said, we do a lot of funerals. So we're in a lot of funeral homes here on the Gulf Coast. And we really feel at ease, our unit does, more so. And I've talked to Post 250, and they do too, when we go to Serenity because of the way you guys treat us.
Well,
and the way y'all treat our families.
It's an honor for them to come out and honor the greatest Americans ever.
Well, hey, it's one of those things is we have to we're all going to have to go sometime or other, so it's just unbelievable how all that works. But we are very appreciative, though, of Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens and what y'all do. Phone number, how can my people get in touch with you?
251-653-4781 or our website, www.serenityfuneralhome.com.
All right. And on the other side of the Scuttlebutt Network, you're going to hear my tirade.
All right.
All right. I'll be bitching about something.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
Those words of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, uttered over 70 years ago before a Congress and a nation in shock, still stir the hearts of today's patriots. He delivered the words to a nation which only hours before had rested peacefully in a world overcome with the tragedies of war, and to a world anxious to discover if the United States would officially enter the conflict known as World War II. Within days, the U.S. would be fully embroiled in the war, with most of the nations holding in the Pacific having succumbed to the onslaught of the forces of the Empire of Japan, and Germany and Italy joining their Japanese ally and declaring war on the U.S. The devastating effects of the swift-moving Japanese attack would be felt by many Americans, both civilian and military, as they were left to their own devices by a nation caught with its pants down, guys. Young men in uniform were abandoned by a government unable to muster a timely response to the attack at Pearl Harbor and beyond. Many, like Glenn Frazier, held out hope that the promised reinforcements, resupply, or rescue might come only to be swept up by the Japanese juggernaut and cast into the hell that befell the survivors of the Bataan Death March. His story and those of his fellow survivors should be mandatory reading for every student in this nation in order that future generations understand the sacrifice that these men made for this nation. A nation, I'll remind you, that abandoned them on foreign lands and cost countless thousands of lives in the process. However, it is just as important to recognize that through all of his suffering, Lincoln's contemporaries never lost their love for this country or their belief that it is the greatest nation on earth. And so this year, over 70 years since the Japanese attack, we as a nation will again remember Pearl Harbor. Remember Pearl Harbor. Such rallying cries are not unique in our history. One can imagine the founding fathers in Philadelphia, during the heated debates over the Declaration of Independence, often implored the assembled delegates to remember Concord and Lexington to advance their cause, or generations to come using Remember the Alamo as a call to persevere against unsurmountable odds. While never romanticizing in film as the Alamo or Pearl Harbor would later be by Hollywood, the sinking of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor would stir public sentiment against Spain, which then owned Cuba, creating the Remember the Maine slogan and pressuring President William McKinley to ask Congress to declare war and bring the U.S. into the Spanish-American War. Some might argue that had the outcome and popularity of the Vietnam War been different, we might be regaling with cries of Remember the Maddox as a rallying cry for the Vietnam War. Although it might be more appropriate to remember the Mayaguez. Just Google it, guys. Or more recently, we were told never forget 9-1-1 or 9-11, however the hell you want to say it. While our troops were spurred on by the Flight 93's Let's Roll. And that wasn't Alabama, guys. And a president that knew what it meant to defeat our enemies.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on. We got the force necessary to deal with the security situation.
Now, undoubtedly, there are those that will bitch and moan and gnash their teeth about how such slogans are nothing more than nationalistic, jingoistic, simplistic propaganda meant to feed the most base instincts of our bloodlusting, imperialistic society. Damn, what a sentence. For you, I would simply say, how's that Hope and Change campaign slogan playing out for you, buddy? Because while remembering Pearl Harbor 75 years later may seem like an act of folly for a generation on the brink of extinction, each of these events and those corresponding slogans created a common ground and point of reference for a nation in need. Just as the Stars and Stripes gave heart to troops around the world in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor and to millions throughout the world seeking freedom, even till today, those slogans brought focus during the chaos of combat and clarity during the isolation of internment in foreign lands. One wonders how history will judge the current administration, which fails to take time to remember so many of the pivotal dates in our nation's history, will pause long enough to commemorate what happened at Pearl Harbor, or at least attempt to learn from the lessons of that tragic day. For not only were we caught flat-footed on that Sunday morning, we had allowed ourselves to be lulled into a false sense of security, that negotiations with our enemies might stop the inevitable march to war. FDR said it best himself.
Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves.
At some point, we have to remember that there is evil in this world. Remember that there are people and nations that wish to do us harm. Remember that they will stop at nothing to see us in chains with our freedoms in tatters, our history rewritten and our culture transformed. And so, yes, it is the right and proper thing to do when we remember those who have gone before. From Concord to the Alamo, from Pearl Harbor to the Twin Towers. We must remember the sacrifices of those who have gone before in order that future generations embrace the freedom that was so dearly paid for by our patriots. No, the greatest infamy would be that we let their flame be extinguished by those more concerned with poll numbers than patriotism. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton, a true patriot and pork-eating crusader.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Load up, sir!
Load up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines. With just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it, and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, you could have done that tirade yesterday.
I know. I'm still eating pork.
Well, I never figured you were going to stop that.
No, I'm soaking all of my ammunition in the grease.
There you go. But... You know, there's just the facts of what you said there, about the status of where we are as a nation.
Right.
And there was, there was a little bit of, sort of forward looking, because that was done. That original one was done about 10 years ago.
Right.
And right. Here we are. And I pulled that up because, of course, the attack at Pearl Harbor eventually led to D-Day.
Right.
Which you know, and if you think about it right now, Tom, 17 and 18-year-olds 80 years ago.
Oh, yes.
And I know you were only like 20 then, something like that. But
a little bit younger than that.
But they were there.
Right.
And General Eisenhower was walking around with those paratroopers, shaking their hands, knowing, as we know now in his memoirs, that probably every other hand that he shook was not going to come home.
Yes. That's a hell of a decision that they have to make, too, you know? And they got to live with that.
Well, yes, and I've heard I've heard so many memoirs. These young men went knowing they might not come back. They
right.
probably wouldn't.
Right.
They were fighting for something bigger back home.
Right. Right.
And so I just want to sort of purse it with the fact that when you see folks talk about attacks on our democracy and a threat to our democracy, right now, the biggest threat is not somewhere over in Europe.
No.
It is right here.
It's at home. It's in our backyard.
And it is not who they want it to be.
Nope.
But anyway, remember, hero is not a four-letter word. And D-Day, tomorrow, remembrance.
Remember it. Hoorah.